Hey, you've reached the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. It's Liz.
And Matt.
And today we're talking about Kenyon Drake, Rashad Perryman, Kenny Stills,
Greg Ward,
yeah, boy.
Oh my God, AJ Brown and Jameson Crowder.
Yeah,
boy. Some real randos got you to the Super Bowl this week.
It's a goofy week, but hey, the Oakland Raiders are no more, which isn't so much goofy as expected.
Dalvin Cook's shoulder, that's problematic.
And the Dirty Bird stunned Matt's 49ers.
We also talk Houston, Tennessee, Green Bay, Chicago, Seattle, Carolina, Mr. 500, Eli Manning, and the poor Rams getting blown out in Dallas.
Leave a message.
Or listen to the podcast one or two.
Hello, and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Liz Loza. Matt Harmon is here. Ragu's in the building, in the room even. Brett is here. I am speaking closer to the microphone. Thank you for looking at me in a very intense way. Matt, let's just like cut to the quid. I know nobody cares about anybody else's fantasy team, but how are you feeling with just 1.5 games, let's say, left to go?
Not great. I think there's a pretty good chance I lose both my matchups today.
Me too.
I faced Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley in one. That's great. The good thing is, like, you know, there's no bench tilting player. People listen to the last podcast, they know I had to start some actual goofballs and play Odell Beckham in when I didn't want to. I mean, he got me 14 points. That's fine. But, like, I didn't, like, leave any, like, guy on the bench and I'm like, ah, damn, I really should have made that mistake. So if I go down, I go down with honor.
Yeah, I faced Saquon Barkley in my Dynasty League. I don't think I'm going to win that one. I need a big day from Michael Thomas, which is possible, except I'm facing Michael Thomas in the other semifinal matchup that I am ahead by, but not by a comfortable enough margin.
Yeah, I think for me, if you're going to be listening to this after the conclusion of the Sunday night game, we are taping during it. Unless John Brown has had the game of his life, I believe I will lose. Now, there is a chance.
Would rainbows shoot out of your butthole if that happened? Like, well, I could imagine a geyser of rainbows shooting from your bottom and flinging you up into the air.
I mean, that would be fantastic. I would love all
of that.
Would
you ride a dolphin? You might ride a porpoise through the air,
just
too.
Am I tripping on acid in this scenario? I will say, though, it would win me the other one, but it probably wouldn't win me the podcast listener league because I'm facing user Stone Cold Lockett, who also has Josh Allen as their super flex quarterback. So probably can't have one without the other. So,
shivved on your own batard. I love that.
Alas, here we are.
All right. Well, obviously, it's the semifinals. And there are a bunch of fringe guys who got you or prevented you from ascending to your fantasy Super Bowl. Let's start with Kenyon Drake because he had three tubs. And Matt, you gave some real good analysis about Drake.
Last night I went to a friend's holiday party and you tried to let me off the hook. Like, well, you'd had some drinks. I'm like, I was drinking like a low-cal IPA by Dogfish Head.
Oh.
So definitely was not 95 calories per beer.
Nice.
Lovely.
Delawarean.
Yeah, for sure. Had only had about three by the time my friend asked me, should I start James Conner?
Three is a lot. What are you talking about?
Oh,
I'd
please.
Be in sweatpants by three.
For me, I'm still flying.
Oh.
He asked, should I play James Conner or Kenyon Drake? I said, you probably want us to trust James Conner if he's going to play. So this morning he texted me, James Conner's playing, I'm playing. So hopefully James Conner has also scored four touchdowns by the time you're listening to this podcast.
Well, you know, the matchup against Buffalo would work in James Conner's favor. I'm just trying to help you out now. We get invited to this. Okay. Also, so Kenyon Drake is doing it. Brad Evans, I thought, tweeted the perfect summation of this matchup, which is that in soft matchups, Kenyon Drake can absolutely produce, and he proved that he is most likely going to be the running back of the Cardinals' future.
Yeah.
The RB1.
Looks like a great trade at the deadline in hindsight.
My only worry is, have we not seen, this is a look-ahead moment, Kenyon Drake with his fresh legs perform over the last month of the season and then not be relied upon enough for a workhorse load?
Well, I think the argument, and I don't know if this is a good one, but the argument would be, yes, we have seen that under the dumbass reign of Adam Gase, who also, like, Devontae Parker, Ryan Tannehill, Kenyon Drake, and you could argue that even Jay Ajayi back in the day was also freed from the clutches of Adam Gase. And every time an offensive player goes away from Adam Gase, they flourish. I don't know if Jarvis, I mean, Jarvis Landry's kind of flourishing.
Well, I also think the quarterback that they have in Kyler Murray, I'm talking obviously of Arizona, allows for more rushing opportunity.
And if they do get back to that, like, if they beef up, I think they desperately need to beef up their wide receiver core. Yeah. Maybe get Andy Isabella more involved and maybe Hakeem Butler. I mean, Hakeem Butler's a fourth round pick. Who cares? But, like, you know, they get some more bodies at that position. They're able to spread the field again a little bit more like they were early in the season when they were really running the ball pretty well with Chase Edmonds and David Johnson. Maybe then we, I mean, that could be a really, really good situation for Kenyon Drake next year.
All right. So we have a feeling that in 2020, his stock will certainly rise. Breshad Perriman.
Well, huge 2020 sleeper, right?
I mean, his dad, Brett, played in the NFL for 10 years and surpassed 1,000 yards, I believe, twice. So we know about his NFL bloodlines. He was a first-round pick to the Ravens. Career was marred by injury and, let's be honest, ineffectiveness. He could never really catch on to the playbook.
Couldn't really catch on to anything. He had
couldn't really catch
or stay healthy, yeah.
But not over the past 2 weeks. Mike Evans goes out. Jameis Winston finds himself a new perimeter receiver who can high point. It's Breshad Perriman. He scores last week, scores twice this week. Chris Godwin goes out and he brings down his third, a hat trick for Perriman.
I got to, you know, shout out to you, Liz, because you wanted more Breshad Perriman hype and I wasn't having it. So shout out to you. And like, I'll hold the L on that one because, you know, I should have had a little more credence to the fact that he's been playing all year long. Also, like, people forget that, like, part of the Baker Mayfield great end to 2018 was brought on by Breshad Perriman, like, actually out there playing pretty well. Like, people were sneaky excited about Breshad Perriman in free agency, and then he signed with the Bucks, and it was like, well, he's going to get buried behind Evans, Godwin, and Howard. So here we are. But he is making plays for this team that does like to throw the ball down the field a lot.
FYI, he is owned in just 10% of Yahoo leagues, and cheers to the 3% of you absolute stone-cold Bulldogs who decided to play him.
The onion's on you.
Goodness. Next week facing the Houston Texans, no Mike Evans likely, no Chris Godwin likely.
Yep.
So he should eat again and might even be one of those championship winners for you.
Weird. What a time
to be
alive.
Super weird. Kenny Stills. Oh, he was on my bench.
Me too. In the podcast listener league, I did leave him on the bench. I don't know where I would have started him, but you know, it is.
I saw Will Fuller was active. Decided to bench.
This is just one of those things where it's like, yeah, fantasy football is weird as hell. And like last week, great matchup against the Broncos away from Chris Harris. No Will Fuller. Well, he doesn't do anything. And then this week, Will Fuller's back. Well, you know, matchup is still good against the Titans, but he drops two early touchdowns. Perfect.
Also, I mean, maybe it was a little bit of a clue that Kiki Cutie was a healthy scratch in this one. At least we should mention that. I don't feel bad about benching Kenny Stills. This is what are you going to do?
Yeah, right.
And then finally, we have a bit of a rising star, converted quarterback, now a slot receiver. Greg Ward was the game winner for the Philadelphia Eagles in a game that should not have come down to it, but it did. I just can't with these damn Eagles. He converted 7 of 9 for 61. And like I said, the game winning touchdown. Now, Greg Ward, as I also said, I think he was playing, Matt, you said heading into this week, about 80% of
almost
his snaps.
Almost 80%, yep.
In the slot. So 5'11", not a huge guy. You get the picture here.
I'm going to tell you what, though, about Greg Ward. Like, I'm kind of in because... Like he has a pretty decent matchup next week, but more than that, like how many times have we sat here and just talk about dust ball after dust ball, tomato can after tomato can in the wide receiver core for the Eagles? This guy's actually kind of doing something, you know.
He is.
Like it's not juicy. Like the next time he averages 10 yards over a catch this season, it will be the first. But it's nothing great. But it is helping Carson Wentz kind of stabilize a little bit.
But how many safety valves? I mean, I know that the O-line is banged up, but like we talk about the reason we like Darius Slayton, for example, right? Or is that one of these things is not like the other, and all of these things are the damn same.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Like Boston Scott, Greg Ward, even Miles Sanders, like these are
Dallas Goddard, Zach Ertz. They're all middle of the field, underneath receivers.
Oh, like don't
we're gonna put all of our money on Jaws?
Let's all,
Jaws?
Well, I hope you didn't do that today because he didn't catch
pass.
But
he is the least alike the rest of these, and he's also the least appealing.
Right, I hear you. And I think that just goes to the structure of the entire Eagles offense, which is just their quarterback is not very accurate right now. He's not playing with the same sort of bravado, confidence, fearlessness that he once did. So, yeah, you're looking at offense that's going to run through the slot. It's tight ends and these two pass-catching running backs, and it's boring. It's not great. You can score. They scored 30 points against Washington, but, like, come on.
All right, so I have a little question for you. This is a little real-life football talk. All right, next week the Eagles will host the Cowboys, who took it to the Rams today.
Yep.
This obviously has giant postseason implications. We'll decide the NFC East. Which of these two teams are you taking?
Cowboys. I think they have the
more
scarier. Well, I don't know about that, but they have the scarier floor and the best ceiling. Like, I mean, this is going to be the lead for my Sunday night column. Like, let's all just mentally prepare ourselves for Dallas winning a playoff game this year, because this team, it showed you today, and it showed you at other times, like when they face good, not when they face good competition, but like they have a good enough roster to have a big time ceiling. And
so,
like,
why did they lay down last week against the Bears?
Because they have no floor. Like they have
and
no.
And Jason Garrett had 10 days to prepare for this.
Well, yeah, you never give Jason Garrett 10 days to prepare, except when he plays on Thanksgiving and whatever. So I just think that they have so much roster talent that they have a really high ceiling, but you absolutely cannot trust them either. Like, I say be prepared for them to win a playoff game. Also be prepared for, like, the 49ers to go into Dallas and throttle them.
Oh, sure.
So it can go either way. But, like, just realize that is a possibility. Like, the Rams were playing really good football coming in today, and they just took them to the woodshed.
Yeah, they did. But I can't get the Bears game out of my head either. And they allowed Mitchell Trubisky to be wildly efficient. Anyway, I think it's interesting. I anticipate the Cowboys should win this game for all of the reasons you're saying, which is exactly why the Eagles will take it at home.
Yep, I agree.
Moving on. AJ Brown. Well, this is not a surprise if you've been listening to the podcast, friends, because Matt and I have been high on him since, March.
Yeah.
Also, he was an excellent DFS buy. 15, 16 bucks, something like that. That price is going up. He's a stud. Averaging yards after the catch, twice the league average.
Laz and I had a who
sets our pricing.
He sets our pricing. We had a little chat about it on Friday after you listened to the podcast. I'm saying he goes and beats up on the Raiders at 17 bucks, pops up at 15 bucks next week. He goes out and has another big game. Maybe he'll be 12. maybe Laz will set him at 12 this
week. Don't ruin it for everybody, friend. Don't ruin it. AJ Brown continues to achieve. Again, this is someone, if we're going to look ahead to 2020, that I think, especially if he's paired with Ryan Tannehill, who did not look great over the first two quarters of the game, but then I think redeemed himself and proved that he could be a franchise quarterback for this team. The two of them next year, certainly a pair that are going to find themselves stacked quite often in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, AJ Brown is going to be like the Chris Godwin of this year, where it's like people are going to want to tout him as a sleeper, but he's going to be like a fourth round pick by the time we draft.
Sure, I think that's a great call. Jamison Crowder, gross. I mean, well, actually, you might love Jamison Crowder now if you love Greg Ward. Shoot, you turn in the corner on these 8 yards per reception.
No,
sort of,
bozos. no, not at all. I mean, by the way, did you watch the Ravens Jets game?
Of course.
What a, like, unbelievable, like, he drops this wide open touchdown and then catches the most difficult pass possible for a touchdown. That was pretty gorgeous.
That was also not just a Jameson Crowder.
That was Sam Darnold.
I just thought it was Jets-esque of the perfect summation of the Jets. So Crowder, after being cold for a couple of weeks, ends up hot. But I think a lot of that also has to do with, we talk about the Ravens secondary and how robust they are.
Speaking of robust, I just saw Ben Roethlisberger on the screen. Oof.
Holiday season, baby. All right. So let's move on to tomorrow's headlines. Today is the Bay Area. Okay.
Last we got a report live from the Raiders stadium. Well, it ain't going to be their stadium much longer. There was nachos being thrown on the field, which, like, come on, think of the kids.
What about the lasers, though? Were the lasers burning holes through the nachos? Were the lasers melting the cheese atop the nachos?
I don't know, but you just really don't need to treat a good plate of nachos like that. Like, you know.
Oh, no, you eat those nachos like Ben Roethlisberger would.
Can't get a few stuck in your beard like that. He's like, it's long. Speaking of crumbs, the what was left of the Jaguars receiver core made pretty good hay against that Raiders secondary.
Oh.
With DJ Chark out, I know, Liz, you were personally, if you can tell by the groan, folks.
Man, have been listening to me groan this entire game.
Personally invested. I mean, usually you're just groaning at whatever I have to say. So this was a nice change of pace. three catches, 76 yards for Keelan Cole, but it was your boy, Chris Conley. Two touchdowns, but
such poetic justice here. After hyping him all damn preseason, I decided, and I own him in Dynasty. I believe that much in him, and then I just benched him because I thought Dede Westbrook just made more sense. I wasn't going to think with my heart. I was going to think with my head. That seems to be the thing to do, and indeed, I'm not going to go to my Super Bowl because of it.
That's brutal.
There it is.
2 for 14 for Dede Westbrook.
Also, this is a situation where, like, I just thought about the amount of yards the Raiders give up via the slot. But we also know, and Matt said this best a couple weeks ago, stop trying to make Dede Westbrook a thing. It ain't a thing. And I valued the matchup over the talent of a player I believe in, which is also a little bit of a lesson. So Chris Connolly and the fearlessness of Gardner Minshew without DJ Chark, obviously, paid dividends.
Tough break for Raiders fans, obviously, as they...
How are we going to talk about them? Come on.
They lose this game. I mean, I feel
really? Isn't that's like their thing.
No, I just feel... I feel a little bit bad for the fans.
Isn't it better they lose in the black hole so that they're like, oh, yeah, this is comfortable. This is what we do. This is... Like, now you can look to a new stadium that maybe brings better energy and juju, and you can leave all of those losses behind you.
See, I thought of it more as, like, the Raiders have been... The Raiders fans in Oakland have been living with a spouse who has told them that they will be divorcing them, but not for 2 years. So, like, you got to live with us for 2 more years. And then on their way out the door, they, like, threw a brick through the window of their old house or whatever. So, I don't know. That was the way I looked at it.
Okay. Sure.
And, like, oh, by the way, now we're going to go to our new spouse with a nice new house in Las Vegas.
But you can come with us.
Kind. You great, I guess.
You can come with us. Hang out at the craps table. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? You want a massage while you're playing some Pai Gal? Let's do it.
Is Derek Carr going to be on the Las Vegas Raiders?
Well, okay. So should we say, while we were watching this, the broadcast was talking about, like, you got to push that ball deep, Carr.
Yeah, it was like the last drive. It's like, well, you got to push the ball deep. Can't use middle field. Can't check down here. You have no timeouts left. And as I said, I was like, no, your audience. Yeah, this is... That's Derek Carr to a T, middle of the field, checking down, not pushing it downfield. I'll tell you, our friend Kendall works on our social team, Raiders fan. She was slacking me. I just put out that video about, I'm almost not kidding, fixing the Bears quarterback situation. She's like, here's how you need to do this with the Raiders. Like, I don't want Derek Carr anywhere near this team.
Yeah, at separate moments, Matt said what he did, and I yelled, stop wish casting. Because I also, it's not just Derek Carr's limiting abilities. I think it's also that he and Gruden, like, don't vibe.
Yeah. And I think Gruden just, if we know anything about him, like, he's a guy who in Tampa would publicly back his guys all the time and then shiv you at the next moment, cut your ass. Like, it was no problem. So I am excited for the Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton, and some random rookie quarterback competition for the Las Vegas Raiders, baby. Let's go.
Worth noting that Darren Waller produced over 100 yards again, and he is either approaching or has surpassed a 1,000-yard ceiling. So without Hunter Renfro in the lineup, you're going to continue to start Darren Waller.
Yeah, and Josh Jacobs came back.
Yep.
24 carries. Actually got 2 catches. How nice. Pretty much was a good solid RB2 floor play for you.
YPC wasn't good, but I think what you're saying here, the gratifying piece of this is that the workload was not affected, having missed last week or any concern over that shoulder injury. But maybe you should be concerned because there's another running back that we'll get to a little bit later who has a shoulder problem.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Coming back.
Well, luckily that running back has to look forward to some extra
games. Let's talk about
stuff.
That right now. Let's just go to it right now.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook. In the matchup at Los Angeles, which was really like a home matchup for the Vikings.
Did you see the Vikings actually tweeted out, like, we're still undefeated at home, quote-unquote?
I didn't see that. That's savage.
And, like, a graphic. And it's just like, part of me, I don't know. I mean, I guess they don't have any fans to kick when they're down. But still, geez, brutal.
Well, Dalvin Cook he left this game with a shoulder injury, which we had talked about in a previous episode, right? Because this is something that's been re-aggravated. He immediately went to the medical. The last time he re-aggravated it, he didn't even go to the medical tent. He just was, they knew exactly what it was, pulled him off the field. That was why Matt was tilting about Cook's volume last week. Ugh. I had Cook and probably going to lose in my other matchup because he left early, but the tricky thing here is that Alexander Mattison is also working through an ankle injury, and he was out in week 15. So potentially you might see Mike Boone start week 16 for the Vikings. And Mike Boone has those fresh legs. We've talked about it all year long, that those fresh legs show up and they dominate. And in fact, that's what happened for the Vikings in week 15.
4.3 yards per carry, 2 touchdowns for Mike Boone. Now, Amir Abdullah, you know, he popped in there for 5 carries, but I think that shows you that Boone is the clear back to own here.
Well, we played this game before with the likes of Ty Williams,
Ty Johnson,
and Bo Scarborough.
Yeah, hey, Bo Scarborough, you know, until he left Earth recently, he's been a solid.
You didn't say.
No.
Oh my god, he got me scared. I was like,
solid,
did I miss this tweet?
Solid RB2 floor play type of guy, getting 20 carries, whatever. But yeah, so I think Boone is in a good spot. He's a guy that, like, you again might be strangely riding to a fantasy championship next week. And I mean, the Packers defense, as you pointed out, like, if they have,
that's who they have on Monday night in week 16. By the way,
they have a clear weak point. It's stopping the run. Just don't tell that to David Montgomery.
Oh, gross. So much grossness. All right. Let's go back to the Bay. We want to talk about San Francisco being stunned by the Falcons.
Yeah. A little bit of a letdown spot for the 49ers.
Is it with all those injuries, though?
Well, that's the thing. I think it's a letdown spot. I feel like they're coming off a big win on the road. They go back home. And, like, the Falcons have players on offense, you know, to take advantage of some of those injuries. And, yeah, I mean, like, they had some guys step up. But overall, like, yeah, it was not totally surprising to see them take the L here.
I mean, they had, what, like, 6 injuries on defense, 6 starters out on defense. I think not having Richard Sherman, obviously, not having Richard Sherman for the 49ers and not having Calvin Ridley for the Falcons really loosed up Julio Jones, who had himself a monster game. And it was considered a catch, the game winner. So,
yeah, 13 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Here's a question. Is Dan Quinn the head coach of the Falcons next year after this?
No, I think they still move on. I mean, they would have to finish like red hot, which isn't outside of the realm of possibility. Who do they have? Who do the Falcons have next week? Because I think their schedule is, I mean, obviously the division is not great, but
the Jaguars, and they're hosting them at home.
Oh baby,
yes.
I think it's happening. I think
poor Arthur Blank. I've been saying this for weeks. He like definitely wants to like make a change and fire Dan Quinn, but like the defense started playing up for him, and now they're winning. They beat beating the 49ers is one of these signature moments that you always reference.
Yeah, I still think it's just going to end up being a signature moment of a already lost era.
Okay.
We'll see, though. I could be wrong.
We are obviously, or you are, rather, if you're playing in your Super Bowl next week. Julio Jones, you're starting. Austin Hooper, who almost had a catch.
Almost had the game winner.
He did not maintain control throughout the process, so it didn't go his way. And Devonta Freeman, who was not particularly efficient working through an injury, but still got the bulk of the work in the backfield, are all three, especially given the matchup against the Jaguars, starts for you next week.
Yeah, and Raheem Mostert maintained kind of his lead on the backfield. 14 carries. No one else saw more than 4 for the 49ers.
That's a great point. I like that. Should we talk about, let's see, where do you want to go here? You want to talk about Houston at Tennessee?
Yeah, that was a big game.
Yep. Lots of playoff implications. Obviously, these two teams will meet one more time in week 17. The Texans did it. I didn't think they did it particularly well. Were not for the Whitney Merciless interception.
Takeaway.
Then we'd be saying something much different.
And like, good for Ryan Tannehill to still have a big fantasy game after like that total death tilt of a turnover that you mentioned. Like, to have Anthony Firkster catch the ball, pop it up in the air right at the goal line, right to Whitney Merciless, who runs it back, and then your boy Jonnu Smith gets in on the touchdown.
Right.
That was
hip checks him.
That was brutal. On a day where Derrick Henry, like, you know, he was good. 21 carries, 86 yards. Not like the hero that he had. Like I said to JJ Zacharyson, who I'm playing in one of these playoff matches, I said, yeah, you're going to beat me because my team is basically reliant on Derrick Henry being an actual god. And he was a mere disciple today. 86 yards. Was like he was human. Ryan Tannehill, I think, stepped up and kept the team in it after falling behind early.
We mentioned Jonnu Smith because he was the one who eventually tackled Whitney Mercilus. Also, if you are streaming at the tight end position, take a look at Smith. I mentioned him in fantasy damage this week. He scored last week with Adam Humphries out. He did not score this week, but he did go over 100 yards, 50 or 60 of them through the air. He converted all five of his looks, and then he ran one rush, his third of his career, by the way, for 57 rushing yards. He is obviously running more routes, drawing more targets without Humphries in the mix. And in week 16, he'll face the Saints. You think, oh my goodness, the Saints, that's a pretty tough defense, except Von Bell may be out. He is out in week 15. So if Von Bell, the safety there, is out again in week 16, then you like Smith as a streamer.
I agree with you. And I would just say beyond those two guys in the passing game, like, don't try it. Like, I saw some people try
AJ Brown.
Yeah, A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith.
And obviously, if Marshawn Lattimore is healthy, you're downgrading A.J. Brown a little bit?
I think so, but like the 13 targets for Brown today, I mean, obviously it was a good matchup, but I still think that said something to me because, like, if you remember Ryan Tannehill in Miami, he was, like, always locked in on Jarvis Landry.
Sure.
And I think you could definitely put some of that on Adam Gase, who, like, wants to call the bunny
hop
slot targets all the time. But at the same time, I think you could say, too, like, Tannehill has developed such a rapport with Brown and hasn't really trickled down to, like, Corey Davis or anything like that because I think Tannehill knows this is my most reliable guy. I'm going to keep feeding him. I would just not mess around with anyone else other than Brown and Smith in this passing game.
Let's talk Chicago at Green Bay. I mean, sure.
That was the best response for you and your Bears. Just
what did I say on Thursday? Like the Packers never blow out the Bears, but the Bears never win.
18-5 Rodgers is now in his career versus your Chicago Bears. Mitchell Trubisky threw the ball 53 times, but here's the silver lining, though, I think, for Bears fans. It's been tough to see because of injuries to Anthony Miller and also just their quarterback playing like garbage most of the year. But I still think this Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller combo could be like a top eight wide receiver duo if they are ever popping at the same time. They absorbed targets on 54% of Mitchell Trubisky's throws today.
And this feels like a happy, I'm sorry to interrupt, but this feels like a happy accident because Matt Nagy now is forced to rely on these two players instead of using Javon Wims or Cordarrelle Patterson in some crazy formations or even Taylor Gabriel was out again. I mean, there was a stretch there. I think of the Rams game, Taylor Gabriel was the leading receiver, at least leading the team in targets. Like Matt Nagy needs to simplify his S, and that I think would help his quarterback because as soon as he started doing that, you saw similarly to Baker Mayfield, Mitchell Trubisky become much more efficient and settle the F down.
I agree with you. I think though,
I can't even look at you.
Why?
I'm so mad about this damn thing.
What's that got to do with me?
I don't know. Like, you're the one talking about it. I don't want to look your way.
I think it's like, I will say that Gabriel might not be on the team next year just due to his contract.
True.
Trey Burton looks like that mistake is going to be shed as well. Even CP might not be there. You never know. I think next year it could be much more of like, okay, these two guys have proven themselves. Like Robinson has been great all year. He's pacing for a 90 catch season, over 1,100 yards with this goofball at quarterback. So, I just think Miller's kind of ascension. It could also just be due to the fact like he came in with an ankle injury this year, wasn't really playing a ton.
Had a shoulder injury last year.
Like this is probably the healthiest he's been as an NFL player, and we're seeing results. He's averaging 86 yards over his last five games, 33 catches in that span as well.
Yeah, you've seen the targets.
Yep.
Certainly helps.
Typically, in order to gain production. Yeah.
You know, you and I both comped him to Doug Baldwin in the pre-draft process 2 years ago, and Doug Baldwin obviously played for the Seattle Seahawks, who took it to the Panthers because they stank.
I mean, no arguments here.
No lies detected.
No lies detected on that one. This
Your
game,
boy Curtis Samuel, though.
Curtis Samuel leads the Panthers in receiving touchdowns this year with six. But yeah, he's been a guy that's been pretty touchdown dependent, because I will say today, like, they snapped the ball directly to him a couple times. It was kind of like they find, yeah, he had 4 carries for 23 yards in addition to catching 5 passes for 31 yards and a touchdown as a receiver, 8 targets. Like, it seemed like today Scott Turner took over the play calling duties, obviously, since the head coaching change. Maybe Scott Turner was finally like, man, you know what? My quarterback is ass. He can't get it to our best vertical playmaker. Maybe I'll just snap the ball to Curtis Samuel, which was like basically the Ohio State playbook, you know?
I mean, it is real. Like, can we also just contextualize this by saying that Shaquille Griffin was out.
Yeah.
Ziggy Ansah was out. Jadeveon Clowney was out.
Yep.
And Kyle Allen still only completed 25 of 41.
He is. I feel for him a little bit, like, because I think the media, like, a narrative hype got so absurdly out of control.
His first game under center was against the Cardinals,
right,
who were giving up like over 300 yards per game to opposing quarterbacks at the time.
QB Wins Twitter was all over it too, because, like, he just kept winning. Yep. It's like, you can't bench a guy who keeps winning. It's like, yeah, you can though, because he's a backup quarterback. Also, I think Cam Newton makes people stupid. And it was, this is a trickle down effect from like, people don't like Cam Newton. They think he sucks, yada, yada. They're idiots. So therefore, Kyle Allen became elevated because of that. I feel bad for him because I think it's just unfair. Like, sometimes you just have to let people be what they are. Like, they're really good at this job. Let them continue to do that job, which is backup quarterback. I think he's a pretty good backup quarterback. Like, let him be that. Don't make him into some kind of franchise saving 7th round pick or whatever, you know?
Right. I think that that's very, very cogent analysis. And if we talk about the Cardinals, who gifted Allen, I suppose, with his first big win, although it might have been a bit of a curse, it's also worth mentioning that the Seahawks, who beat the Panthers, will host the Cardinals in week 16. I like that matchup. Obviously, NFC, so it's a division rivalry, or at least a division matchup. I don't know if the Seahawks will be healthy enough, but I do like the opportunity that Tyler Lockett has here to keep things rolling. And it was great to see him look back to health.
Yeah, I mean, the always trustworthy, the guy we take at his word every time, Pete Carroll, told us going into this week that Tyler Lockett was truly back after he had that really scary leg injury against the 49ers where he had to stay back. Remember that on that Monday night game? And, like, there were people on Twitter worrying about, like, him getting his leg amputated.
Well, and not for nothing, he broke his leg 2 years ago.
Yep. And then he also got sick after that. So I think there's a lot of things been going on with Tyler Lockett. Like, I don't care that he went quiet for a month and had, you know, 8 catches for 107 yards since week 10. Like, we know on balance of the season, Tyler Lockett has been great. He's not a guy that's necessarily he's played through injuries before, but not necessarily play well through injuries. And now this was such a perfect spot for him. 124 yards per game. The Panthers had allowed to slot receivers. They'd been getting bit by big plays over the last 4 weeks. So this was a spot where, like, if you just removed what had happened recently and bet on a talented player that the coaching staff was telling you was healthy, you profited really big. And I agree with you that obviously we know the Cardinals matchup is great next week.
So you're going to continue to roll with them. Let's talk Miami at Giants, which shouldn't have any real football implications, but in fantasy was a buffet, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Of points.
This is a total, like, fantasy football game because, like, no one cares about. But there's enough storylines with these two teams that people care, but, like, not really. You know what I mean? What's up?
Tell me what you mean by that. What storylines do you think?
Well, obviously,
don't actually care about, Matt?
The DeVante Parker rebirth campaign.
I mean, he got
took
paid.
It, good took, for it, him. Took another train ride to 2 touchdowns, 2 train rides
Let's
to the end
it.
Zone,
Let's
72
do it.
Yards. And then obviously Albert Wilson with 5 catches for 59 yards.
You think
Huge.
These are the storylines?
These
that
are the
really
storylines.
Yeah.
And look, Patrick Laird had 14 touches in this one. And obviously the true comeback story that everyone cares about, that is on all of our radars in our hearts. Saquon Barkley, 24 carries, 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns against Miami Dolphins. If he didn't get you slaughtered in your fantasy league because you took him number one
overall
like a clown, he hit big for you today, at least.
And he'll probably do it again next week against Washington.
And let's also say on the Giants side, too, there was a gorgeous passing performance because Alex Tanny completed one pass. 100%
completion. I know exactly
rate.
Where you're going. It's no longer, I know you too well, Matt, that it's no longer a surprise. It can no longer affect me.
Okay.
You don't have to talk about Eli Manning.
No, I mean, look, Eli took his
future Hall of Fame quarterback, Eli Manning.
Oh, look, there, that is an argument I will not engage in because it is inevitable that he will get in the Hall of Fame. And I think arguing against it, even if you don't believe he should be in, is a waste of your breath. And we have precious few breaths left on this earth. So, like, don't waste it.
I mean, he had a YPA of over 10 in this game. He found Darius Slayton for he found Darius Slayton for the second week in a row in the end zone. I mean, Sterling Shepard went for over 100 yards and didn't need to have OBJ stretching the field for him in this one. Golden Tate scored. I mean, everybody got a little bit of something.
I mean,
except for Liz Loza.
I mean, look, it was great to see Eli Manning win and thrive in his third final start of his career. I can't wait. This was a great final start for Eli Manning. I can't wait to watch his next final start next week and one more after that, because he's probably going to play the rest of the damn season.
Your lips to God's ears. Let's wrap things up with the Rams, who... I mean, you said that Bo Scarborough left the earth today. Well, so did the Rams' chances of doing anything in the playoffs.
They're still technically alive in the race. You know?
Yeah, if they play like that, they're really going to smash.
Hey, Jared Goff came through in garbage time, though, and I needed that.
So did Todd Gurley.
And so did Tyler Higbee. Ended up with 17 points today, which was kind of surprising. But Higbee's been like one of the waiver pickups of the year. But yeah, this was a disappointing effort from the Rams, who I thought had kind of figured their stuff out. Did not look like that today. Awful performance, like rushing efficiency wise, from Todd Gurley. 11 carries, 1.8 a pop. And of course, we know that he did catch a touchdown and rush for a touchdown. So that's great. Also rushed for a 2-point conversion. So like the box score looks awesome with almost 20 fantasy points. But it was a pretty hideous effort. Overall,
Your boy Cooper Kupp finally found the end zone again. Was super efficient.
Not my boy. Let's be clear.
Well, you hyped him during Fantasy Football Live.
I said that he could.
These are your guys. You love these like 6-7 yards per risk at YPR dudes. These are your
like,
dudes.
The real
Greg Ward, Jameson Crowder, Cooper Kupp. These are your little safety slot receivers, precise route runners, safety valves. That's how you like it, Matt.
I mean, I'm fine with picking them up on the waiver wire in week 15, but don't be going and spending 9th-round picks on them in your fantasy drafts, you know? But, like, the thing, though, like, my Cooper Kupp analysis is, like, kind of shade on. Like, remember when people that wanted to be taken seriously said, like, Cooper Kupp, one of the 10 best receivers in the NFL. Give me a break. The reason he's not getting on the field as much anymore is because he can't even play out. Like, he can't play outside, period. Like, right. If you watch the Rams play and, like, really watch – hashtag watch the tape.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one route, always against zone coverage.
Breaking route.
He pops guys as a blocker sometimes. Like, he will chip players before going out and route, which, like, cool, that's tough football guy stuff, but, like, he's barely even playing receiver out there. So, I don't know about him being one of my guys, but, yeah.
Are you trusting him in week 16?
You will have to remind me who the Los Angeles Rams play in week 16.
They are playing the 49ers at the Bell Bottom. That's Levi Stadium, guys.
I don't have you seen a snap count from this game yet?
No, friend. We have the him? Same data.
Well, I don't know. You could be on Twitter. Like, you're deep in analytics stats.
Oh, yeah, that's me.
It's you.
Deep in analytics Twitter.
You might have seen a snap count. I don't know. But I would say probably not. I mean, even in this game, right? Like, he got 6 targets. I don't think that your trust is not the right word. Like, might chance, but do not trust.
Todd Gurley, how are you evaluating the Rams after that performance? Heading into week 16.
I don't feel good.
Against the 49ers, who are coming off a close watch. Coming off... watching the game.
We're coming off of a close loss. Got washed out in the end of that game. You know?
But have a lot of injuries.
I would say...
Also worth noting that Brandon Cooks, who we dogged, and for good reason, he only caught 4 balls, did manage to draw 8 targets.
Yeah, well, I think the Rams probably, they got off their script pretty quickly because Dallas scored 28 points in the first half to 7 to them. Like, I think that probably, like, all this talk that we did about this is the way the Rams want to play. Well, because they couldn't stop them on defense and couldn't really possess the ball, that, like, that script, the run the ball, play good defense, hide your quarterback, we always talk about it, that's a thin margin for error. And the Cowboys slashed right through that margin for error. So, yeah, I think that overall, like, you're looking at a team that we know how they want to play, but they got thrown off that script today, and that's why you see Brandon Cooks pop back up. That's why Cooper Kupp, you know, does a little bit of something.
Right, because they're chasing points. Robert Woods, though, I think will rebound next week, especially if Richard Sherman's out.
Yep, that's a really good point. Again. 9 targets today, so.
Yeah, second in team targets behind your boy, Tyler Higbee.
Tyler Tigby.
So we'll be back on Friday pronouncing a bunch of names incorrectly. Most likely, you can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at Liz Loza _FF. That is at Matt Harmon _BYB. And we are out of the playoffs.